A little about me. I'm an immigrant. I'm here to take your jobs. Watch out, Jerry Seinfeld! No, for real. I am an immigrant. I came to America with $9 in my pocket. Yeah. $10,000 in the bank. But $9 in the pocket. I'm not your typical Indian woman. This bindi, it's a PR thing. And people ask a lot of questions about the bindi. Why do you wear it? Is it a jewel? Is it painted on? It's nothing. It's a sticker. Okay, maybe it's a statement. Bindi on, ready to meet the in-laws. Bindi off, ready for spring break. And one question that comes up all the time is, do you have to be married to wear the bindi? Not true. But I asked my grandma, I was like, why does this question keep coming up all the time? And she said to me, No. Just tell them, any woman anywhere can wear the bindi, but married women tend to wear it more. Because when they wake up the day after the marriage, they should know where to aim the gun. She was kidding, I think. So my name is Zarna. That's not a real name. You see, my parents messed up. They misspelled it. It's as if I got up here and said my name was Melizabeth. Because Jharna with a J means waterfall in Hindi. Zarna with a Z is, she's the youngest. Let the servants name her. No, oh, it's okay. I had servants. And this permanent spelling error from the people who win every spelling bee. But I dreamt of coming to America just like Eddie Murphy. You know, when you're outside this country looking at life in here, everything looks so much more fun. Like people frolicking in hot tubs, jacuzzis, bubble baths. I mean, in India, you get water in a bucket. Like there's buckets in America too, but they're filled with fried chicken. A shower doesn't stop here until you stop it. People fill gallons of drinkable water in a bathtub and just sit in it. Because they're sad. How can you not love this place and love it here? Any immigrants in the house? Yeah. How hard is it, right, to come here for everyone except the Canadians? No, there's always one Canadian in the room who's like, it wasn't so hard, we just drove in. Not that guy, but for the rest of us, the brownies, really hard to come here. The visa, the paperwork, years of waiting. And you get here and you find out that everybody hates everybody. The Democrats hate the Republicans hate the Democrats, pro-choice, pro-life, pro-gun, MacBook Pro. By the time I got my green card, I was like, I'm not so sure about this. The only thing everybody seems to agree on is that everybody hates Ted Cruz. See, he has a purpose. So you've heard this expression, she's one in a million? It's meant as a compliment. Well, I'm one in a billion. really, there's a billion of us. To us, one in a million is so cute. See, India is 1.4 billion people. Can you even imagine? For context, America is 400 million people. You have to add a whole billion to that and then ask yourself how pro-life you would be. If Americans had to compete with 1.4 billion people for a parking spot, every street corner would have a Planned Parenthood. But speaking of the Supreme Court, my favorite judge, Judge Judy. Yeah, because of her, I went to law school. But I found out after I became a lawyer that you have to be a good lawyer to be appointed a judge. And I was the worst. I could never be neutral. I would take my own client to the judge and be like, Your Honor, my client has robbed the liquor store. Oh shit, no, my client has not robbed the liquor store. Even the judge was like, Mrs. Garg, do you know what a defense attorney does? And I could never keep a poker face. I would be like, but you and I both know he did it. So I decided, you know what? I'm gonna stay home. I'm gonna support my husband. I'm gonna raise my kids. I was a stay-at-home mom for 16 years. Of being home with the kids full time, I learned something. I'm not that into them. So I found the only job that keeps me out of the house nights and weekends. I mean, kids aren't even allowed in here. And I have no idea what's going on at my house right now. There could be a meth lab. But I've been married for 23 years. See, this is why I love my American audience. Because here, if you're not divorced, you're a hero. If I say the same thing back home, I've been married 23 years, they're like, so? You get married, you stay married. Do you know how marriage works? What do you want, a participation trophy? And we are very relaxed about the whole till death do us part thing. Because we believe in reincarnation. We are like, if you're stuck with a complete dud this time, then maybe next time you get George Clooney. But I have no complaints. I'm married to a really nice man. We are the perfect Indian couple. We do math for fun. We take romantic walks in the park and discuss interest rates. The last time we refinanced, I got pregnant with my third. Three kids, only the oldest boy is important. Right? All the brown boys up front, they're nodding, right? You get that, right? You're like, that's why we're out on a Wednesday night, all the oldest ones here. What young one is coming out tonight? No. Read the newspaper. No, we got lucky. We have two boys. Woohoo! One girl, whatever about her. By the way, the whole oldest boy thing is not just an Indian thing. Look at the royal family. That Prince William, he's got it made. He's going to be king. But bichara Harry, he couldn't even get on the British baking show. He had to move to California to get any attention. But my husband, he's a great guy. You know, he went to a good college, has an amazing job. He's what you here would call a catch. I know this because his mother reminds me. Every day. And, you know, and he has a superpower. I shouldn't be so surprised because back in the day, he was a chess champion. I know what you're all thinking, chess champion. Sexy. So his superpower is logic. Exactly. What do you do with logic? Maybe if you're stuck in an escape room someday. But otherwise, what do you do with logic? You know, it's as if I'm married to Clark Kent, who never becomes Superman. Like, if a big bookshelf falls on my head, do I really need him explaining to me that I put too much stuff in it? Or if my check luggage is overweight at the airport, I need him pointing out that I took too many towels from the hotel? Nobody needs logic. And you know, when I first started doing this joke, he didn't like it. He's like, I don't like this joke. I said, but why? You are my Superman. He goes, how can I be Superman? They took out all the phone booths. Where will I change into the costume? By the way, what do you call an escape room in India? Arranged marriage. So my oldest is my daughter. She's a freshman this year at Stanford University. Thank you. So when she got in, immediately I called my mother-in-law. To flex. Like, wouldn't you do that? Wouldn't you brag about this? And you know what she said to me, my mother-in-law? She said to me, how good can the college be if it's taking so many girls? You see, she is what you here would call a cunt. Complain about her too much, because without her, what would I get up here and say? What would I say? I would be like, I'm happy, I'm fine, I too have self-esteem. Let's face it, without her, I would have no act. But now my kid is in college and it's all about making friends. I was like, why? Make friends when you join Doctors Without Borders. And she's like, Mom, be serious. I have to make some friends. I said, okay, I'm going to give you the guidelines on who you can be friends with. You cannot be friends with any communications majors. No sociology, no geology, no anthropology. What even is that? Everybody's dead. No kids who play music, no kids who do drama, recruited athletes. Do I even need to say the words? And she's like, so I can't have any friends. I said, I didn't say that. Did I say that? No, right? I said, CompSci is good. Engineering, pre-med, basically all the Indian kids. And she's like, what if I meet an Indian kid who's an art major? I said, that doesn't exist. And if you meet that kid, get his mother's phone number. We might need to check on her. She might be about to jump in front of a train. So are we all familiar with the acronym STEM in education? Yeah. We all know what it stands for. What does it stand for? Science, technology, engineering, math. So have you heard about the controversy surrounding this acronym? They want to add art to it. because the artists are feeling excluded. And they want to make it steam. What are they trying to do to us? Do they realize that if you add art to STEM, there will be no steam? Do they think that the guy who invented the steam engine ran a puppet show on the side? They think they can just disrupt the world order like that? How would they like it if we added a spelling bee to the NFL? But let me tell you about my 16-year-old son, so handsome. I can show you a photo afterwards if you want. My 16-year-old son recently started walking to school with a girl. So I follow them. And my husband's been so impressed with me. He's like, our son is walking to school with a white blonde girl. And you don't have a problem with that. I told him there's nothing to worry about. It's not like she's gonna get into a good college. Oh. Ah, whatever, cancel me, I don't care. Besides, the blondes don't even get that joke. Now, my daughter called me the other day and she's like, I just met a boy. I was like, why? You're born here, you don't need a green card. She's like, Mom, he's really nice. Nice? Who needs nice? We need rich. And she's like, Mom, hear me out. He's an engineering major. I said, okay, I'm listening. He's from Connecticut. Fine, go on. His mom is the head of development at HBO. I said, he's got potential. So I have a third kid. I forget about him sometimes. I don't know what to say about him. I don't really know him. I mean, the nanny says he's perfect. But in our house, we don't use the word nanny. We call her auntie. Because this way, she can sit in for us at parent-teacher conferences, at doctor appointments, at college graduations. But speaking of college, I have to tell you, I have uncovered the world's biggest scam. Did you guys know that in this country, the parents don't get to decide what the kid's gonna study? You all knew this? I really thought when my kid goes to college, I will call the college up. And I will say, Comsci 1, Comsci 2, go. She wants to have some fun. I understand that. Give her one class in chemistry. It does not work that way. They're so rude, they'd hang up on me. So I had to call my kid and ask her. I was like, what are you enrolled in? What are you studying? Are you guys ready for this? Ceramics. $80,000! To learn how to make clay pots? Do you know who else makes clay pots? Villagers in India. Because they have nothing else to do. My kid is in Palo Alto, the epicenter of technology, making clay pots. Why am I being punished, Ganesh? Do you know how bad something has to be when the nice white guy in the audience is like, oh no! And now I have an update on this situation and you guys are gonna think I'm making it up. I'm not, I'm telling you the truth. I just found out that she's required to take a class in wellness. So she's enrolled in meditation, which costs extra. While she's meditating, I'm gonna go have a stroke. I mean, I'm an immigrant parent in America. It's hard for me to raise my kids here. I'll tell you why. Because here, people like to do dangerous things just for fun. Just for the thrill of it, they like to go sliding down mountains, fall out of airplanes, dive into oceans, just for the thrill of it. Back home, when I wanted to experience the thrill, I drank tap water. My son wants to go bungee jumping. Could you imagine? My son, my daughter, whatever. And I said, no, you can't go. And he goes, why not? My friend Scott went. Scott. He put a photo on Instagram. I said, Scott should go bungee jumping. Scott has a B in math. He has nowhere to go but up. You want to put a photo on Instagram, take a picture of your GPA. And you know the other thing that has us immigrant parents really confused is this modern parenting trend in America right now. People trying to be friends with their kids. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, right? I know, brown people are like, what? No, it's a thing. It's a thing here. There are parents in this country right now telling their kids, don't worry about your grades. Don't worry about your job. You be happy. If you are happy, we are happy. Don't worry, be happy. Who's heard that song? You've heard that song? That would never be an Indian song. Our song would be Don't Happy. Be worried. And there is so much to worry about. Let me share a statistic, because I'm nothing if I don't have a statistic for you. Last year, 6 out of 8 spelling bee champions in America were Indian. Our community was devastated. They were like 75%. That's a C. A C is for chiropractor. That is not a doctor. And you know, when I make these jokes, people ask me, they're like, how can you be so strict and old-fashioned? You're a comedian. Yeah, but my kids don't know I do this. I leave my house in scrubs. My LinkedIn profile says Mount Sinai. Okay, I was kidding about that. They do know what I do, and it's all because of Zoom. The last few years, I did a lot of shows on Zoom. How many people here are still working on Zoom? A little bit, right? At least a little bit. Zoom was good in the beginning, right? Like, you wore your nice shirt, you combed your hair, you look good. Then a few months into it, you took a little bite on the side. Then a few more months, a little drinky-drinky. Now we're like, I'm just gonna take a shower. Just keep the door open. So I did a lot of shows for Indian families, Indian events, and in those shows, I would have a lot of Indian uncles. Now, in America, we've heard a lot about Indian aunties, But can we take a minute and talk about Indian uncles? Yes? So this is how the Zoom would open up. It's like 100 little windows and all these Indian uncles in them looking at me like this. As if to say, who is this woman and why is she talking? And then while I was doing my set, the chat room would be fired up. You know, the chat room that we could all read, including me. She's not funny. That's not funny. Okay, maybe she's a little funny. Yeah. No, you can imagine these Indian uncles, right, walking around with their hands. Hands behind their back, belly protruding out. As if they're all doing hospital rounds. But really, they're just at a garage sale. And if you go to dinner with an Indian uncle and tip 20%, they lose their minds. They're like, oh, no one told me I'm having dinner with Bill Gates. So I make fun of Indian guys, but the truth is they're great guys. Good fathers, great husbands, great providers. You'll never see them dunking a basketball. But they all bought Google at the right time. No, not my husband. No, my husband bought Dell. Because, you know, who needs money? And the Indian aunties are not off the hook. No. Kids here think they have it bad. They complain about things like, they're like, oh, I grew up in a rough neighborhood. Greenwich. I didn't belong. She was mean to me. What, do you know where I grew up? In India. With Indian people. I wish I had white bullies. I had scary Indian aunties. This used to be my birthday. Come, beta. Pinching cheeks until the blood clots. Who is 16 today? And fat? And single? Happy birthday! And it's not like I could say to her, who is 58 today? And fatter than me? But I didn't want to die. And now that I'm an Indian auntie, by the way, shout out to all my Indian aunties. Out here, online, at home, because of you guys, I'm here today. So my aunties will understand this, right? When we hang out at dinner parties, the kids all assume we're talking about them. We're not talking about them. We're talking about the one auntie who wasn't invited. And the kids here are so delicate. My 16-year-old son, so handsome. He recently asked me, he's like, Mom, are you proud of me? I was like, proud of you? Why? And he goes, because I get good grades. I said, you get good grades because we make you study. We get you tutors. We feed you almonds. You should be proud of us. You're an Indian kid who gets good grades. That's like a Russian mom being proud that her kid is a figure skater. Right now, the best I can give you is that I'm not embarrassed by you. And these kids, they have no street smarts. Like, you know, they come to me for help with their homework, and I'm like, I don't know anything, Google it. And then he'll be like, Mom, but I have to show the work. My math teacher wants to see the work. I'm like, okay, Google fake work. And my daughter, little Miss Stanford, overheard this interaction once. And she's like, Mom, how is it that you went to law school and you don't know anything? I said, I do know something. you have a right to remain silent. Use it. The truth is that my youngest, my third, is actually the smartest of my three. I just don't have the heart to break it to him that by the time he goes to college, there's going to be no money left. I mean, I drop hints. I tell him, I'm like, you know what's a great university? DeVry. And my husband, he thinks he's a comedian now. He's like, by the time he goes to college, we're going to have no money left. You know what's a great place to retire? Flushing. No, so I've been married, you know, a long time, and people ask me, what's the secret to my long marriage? We have a secret. It's that we have an understanding. If we separate, he has to take the kids. But I have to keep his mother. So what's the point? And sometimes we fight. I tell him, go take the kids. You know, one has a tennis tournament and another has a chess game at the same time. Figure that out, Mr. Logic Man. And one has a peanut allergy. I'm not telling you which one. You know, I get asked if I was arranged. I wasn't, but my sister was. And sometimes I'm jealous because she has a 15,000 square foot house, a private plane, true story, and a dead mother-in-law. You know, the funny thing about arranged marriages is that they almost always seem to work out. Like my friend Kanika likes to tell her story. She's like, you think your mother-in-law is bad. So it turns out that 20 years ago when she was getting arranged, her husband didn't want to marry her. He didn't like her. But his mother put her foot down. And she said, no, you can't back out now. This match is made. We rented the elephant. But in a few years, if you still don't like the girl, you can always set her on fire. Oh, relax. They learn to love each other. It even became an inside joke. You know, they argue like all couples, and he says, shall I get the matches? And she says, first you'll have to find the kitchen. So I met my husband online 25 years ago. Yeah, not the way you guys meet today. Like, nobody asked you up. Nobody asked what are your hobbies and passions. Like, if he has a job, there should be no passions. You're back then, there were only two genders to choose from. And if somebody asked what's my orientation, I said my apartment faces south. One time somebody asked me if I was bi-curious. I said, what are you buying? I'm curious. We were so naive, we acted as if there was a matchmaker, even though there wasn't. Like, he asked me if I could cook. I said, can you show me your tax returns? He said, can you bring some dowry? I said, can I interest you in some Bed Bath & Beyond coupons? So in a way, we arranged ourselves, and that didn't go over well back home. Like, his mom was pissed off, my dad was upset, so you know, match made in heaven. Neither side of the family spoke to the other side for a long time. We refer to that as the honeymoon period. What's better, being arranged, falling in love, meeting online, but I do know that Americans are too obsessed with romance. Like, on this one thing, the bar is set so high. In education, so low. ever after? Absolutely. Calculus? You did your best. Enough with the fairy tales and the happily ever after. We don't even want that. We don't want happily ever after. We just want a 1600 on the SAT and an eyebrow threading lady who won't quit on us. The aunties love that, right? Eyebrow threading. That's a real crisis, but somebody fix it. Somebody watching this, fix this. See, we didn't grow up hearing things like sweet dreams. We grew up hearing make money in your dreams. And I got curious. I was like, is this just an Indian thing? So one time I asked a Chinese mom. I said, Chinese mom, do you say sweet dreams to your kids? And she looked at me and she said, what is a dream? See, us immigrants, we're all the same. We're practical people. We're so practical that my daughter once asked me, she's like, Mom, do Indian people even love each other? She's like, I never see you guys hold hands or kissing. Do you even, you know. So I told her, I said, well, you are here. And why do you think we pay for so many tennis lessons? Have you ever seen us at a match? And Indian people only wrote the ultimate book on sex. To which she responded, we wrote 50 Shades of Grey. No, we're practical people. We've never even had a candlelight dinner. Why would we? We came to America for the electricity. But I love it here now. Everything Indian is hot right now in America. Have you guys realized that? Like Ayurveda, turmeric, living with your parents. Here, people bend over backwards to accommodate me. Sometimes I have to tell them, relax, don't offer me chai tea. You don't know what it is. And putting a tea bag in apple cider is not chai tea. Besides, we came here so we could order from a list of 9 lukewarm coffee drinks that all taste the same. But don't invite me to meditate. I'm already going broke on meditation. And I have to tell them sometimes, I'm like, what do you think will happen when you go to India? You think you're gonna get ice cubes? You think you're gonna get ranch dressing? You think you're gonna get a toilet seat? Where do you think you are, the Ritz-Carlton? You think you're gonna get bike lanes? Bike lanes, they don't have car lanes. See, New Yorkers think they're so tough. I tell them, go to Calcutta for one day. New York will feel like a fun little village. And you know, whoever said it takes a village has never been to a village. I remember when I watched a brown comic for the first time, you know, one of these Indian American kids born and raised here, and they were complaining about their overbearing, difficult to please parents. I realized, I was like, oh, I'm who they're talking about. You know, we have a nickname for these kids. We call them A, B, C, D's. What does it stand for? American Born Confused Daisies. What it should stand for is always bitching and complaining dum-dums. Because God, they whine about everything. It's like, oh, our parents made us go to medical school. Yeah, we don't want you working for T-Mobile. We weren't allowed to go to summer camp. Yeah, and you weren't molested. We're not allowed to marry who we want. No, you can't marry that waitress with a neck tattoo. And you didn't even agree to go on one date with my friend's daughter, Priya Kapadia. And these kids, they think we don't know anything. We're so old-fashioned. They have a nickname for us. They call us FOBs, which stands for Fresh Off the Boat. What it should stand for is Full of Benjamins. Because guess who's gonna subsidize the ceramics? And we don't know anything. We don't know anything. It's just a complete coincidence that every CEO in the world right now is Indian. Microsoft, Google, Twitter, Starbucks. Like, and some white guys in there too, but I forget their names. But it's just a complete coincidence. You think those CEOs chose their own majors? You think those CEOs spent their summer swinging on a tire? You think their parents ever said to them, "Don't worry, be happy"? And what do these kids want us to say to them? Go be a DJ. Be a YouTuber. UPS is always hiring philosophers. Start practicing now. What can Brown do for you? But there is one aspect of American parenting that I really respect. It's how they handle their gay kids. Like, our community is lagging behind. We have a lot of catching up to do. You know, my cousin's son just came out, and that family was not supportive at all. They were like, "Not in our household, not in this family." And I called my cousin up. I said, "You cannot talk to your son like this. You're going to lose him." And my husband was so impressed with me. He's like, "Your cousin's son is gay. And you don't have a problem with that." I told him, "It's not my kid. What do I care?" So guess who stalks me on TikTok? My mother-in-law. No, she really does. And I tell her, "Can you not stalk me, please?" She's like, "I'm not stalking you." I go, "You're only following one account." At least follow Priyanka Chopra, Patel Brothers, something. And you know, I go live on TikTok, guess who comes on right after me? I'm like, "Can you get off? I'm going live to talk shit about you." This is just for her. You guys feel free to stalk me. I'm at Zarna Garg, okay? This is just her. You know, my mother-in-law, she lives in India, but she comes to America for 3 months at a time. It's like she has her own season. Winter is coming. And when she's coming, she'll ask me, "What can I bring for you?" And I'll tell her, "Pack a gun. Bring some cocaine. Throw some mangoes in the bag." I give her such great ideas, and yet she breezes past security. And she doesn't speak much English, so she gets nervous to fill out that immigration paper that you have to fill to enter the country. I tell her, I'm like, "Don't worry about the immigration paper. Just check yes on everything." "Are you a communist?" "Yes." "Are you a terrorist?" "Yes." "Are you bringing fruits and vegetables?" "Yes." Do you think she is on a criminal watch list? No. She gets a wheelchair and a priority pass. The agent at the gate says, thank you so much for coming. Welcome to America. I know, welcome to America. Where are the go back to your country people when I need them? So I'm Hindu, you guys. Any Hindus in the house? Hi, homies. My people. So I'm a reasonable, moderate Hindu. You have to specify that in the world we live in right now. It's just not my fault that it's the best religion out there. Right? The other religions seem so angry and organized. Like Christianity, confess before you die or else. Judaism, you took an elevator on a Friday night? No chicken soup for you. Buddhism, so much chanting. Even the Dalai Lama is like, I heard you yesterday. Islam, they're not gonna go there. The Hindus are like, eh. Do the best you can. That's why we have reincarnation. Carpe diem or not. So I'm what I like to call Hindu light. I mean, we celebrate Diwali, but I do take out. Why am I gonna cook for 3 days? My mother-in-law's not here to spy on me. My little one, my little son, goes to Hindu Sunday school, but I drop him and I go get mimosas with my friends. So I'm Hindu light, but my brother who lives back home, he's a believer. He goes to the temple every day in Mumbai, and every day he FaceTimes me from the temple, and he points the phone at Ganesh. And he says, quick, ask what you want from God today. How sweet, right? My brother, he's thinking about me. And I'm a good person. I ask for nice things. Like, cure cancer, end hunger, world peace. But every day? Some days I get selfish. Some days I'm like, how about an air fryer? Or a comedy special.